But it really was under the New Deal era, though, that agencies began to increase their power and authority. So, of course, New Deal legislation, and I'm sure you all know this, was a series of programs and projects that were instituted during the Depression era from 1933 to 1939 by President Franklin Roosevelt. And the proposal aimed to restore and stabilize the economy and to provide jobs. And so over the next 8 years, the government instituted a series of experimental New Deal projects and programs, such as the Civilian Conservation Corps, Securities and Exchange Commission, Social Security Act, just to name a few. But what it did, though, was fundamentally and permanently change the federal government by expanding its size and scope, especially its role in the economy. So opponents of the New Deal legislation, though, relied on the judiciary to prevent implementation of New Deal programs and authority being given to those agencies. And you can look to the first 2 years of President Roosevelt's term, where courts issued some 1,600 injunctions against the enforcement of New Deal legislation. So as administrative law developed, many citizens resisted the creation of a formal, uniform administrative law, because they argued that such a body of law would enhance the government's ability to exercise power over its citizens, which in the end might actually diminish individual rights. So subsequently, through the 19th and 20th centuries, when Congress delegated authority to an agency, that agency's power was specifically included in its enabling legislation. But it was actually the West Coast Hotel versus Parrish case that many claim was the case that gave the constitutional thumbs up to the next generation of New Deal legislation. And some refer to that case, and this will probably ring a bell from law school, as the switch in time that saved nine. And that sort of came about by two swing votes on the court that sided with the more liberal wing and gave the go-ahead for New Deal legislation. So the court there considered, in West Coast Hotel, they considered whether a minimum wage law for women violated the due process clause of the Fifth Amendment, as that clause was applied by the 14th Amendment. And the case involved a suit by a woman named Elsie Parrish, who was a chambermaid in a hotel in Washington. She was paid $12 for a 48-hour work week. And so under that 1913 minimum wage law, she was supposed to receive $14.50. She sued the hotel and won, and then the hotel appealed. And it was a 5-4 decision, and the United States Supreme Court held that the establishment of minimum wage laws for women was constitutional. And in that decision, the majority determined that a state may use its police power to restrict an individual's freedom to contract. And this marked a shift from the court's earlier position on a more expansive view of freedom to contract, and is generally regarded as ending the Lochner era. And of course, that Lochner era was that period in history where the Supreme Court tended to invalidate legislation that aimed to regulate businesses and in favor of a more laissez-faire economic policy. So momentum is starting to grow, and the Roosevelt administration undertook some efforts to actually draft legislation and to create a uniform set of administrative rules. So in 1939, the Walter Logan Bill was moving through Congress, and it was set up by an attorney general-led committee to investigate the need for a procedural reform. And one commentator in an interesting New York Times article from the time said, supporters of the bill argued that it was a necessary curb on the Hydra-headed New Deal agencies. But the president ultimately vetoed the bill, which would have placed administrative agencies directly under courts and would have allowed for judicial review of an agency decision. The bill failed in part, some claimed, was because there was a quick need for decisive government action during World War II. And there was a concern that it would slow the decisions down. But in 1941, the Attorney General Committee actually submitted a report with its recommendations. One of the recommendations was the creation of a new power to appoint and remove hearing commissioners. The publication of agency rules, policies, and interpretations, and the appointment of a special hearing officer for adjudicatory hearings. And the report, in essence, really laid the groundwork for the APA.